You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. That last story was produced by reporter Liza Veal, and she's with me in studio now. Hey, Liza.
Hey, Hannah.
So, Liza, we just heard from someone who's involved in sugar dating, where you pay someone for romance, which sounds a lot like...
prostitution?
Yeah. So how do they get around that legally?
Well, it's this legal gray area because there's no immediate exchange of cash for sex. So Brandon Wade, who is the founder of the site, says there are plenty of romantic relationships where the breadwinner basically pays for the other person, and that people who are looking for that shouldn't have to be coy. This is Wade defending his site on the TV show Dr. Drew On Call.
It's not a prostitution website. It's a website where women can find wealthy men who are going to spoil and pamper them. What's wrong with that?
Okay, it's not illegal for a website to bring those people together and let them work out money for themselves.
Right. And also, I don't know how widespread this is, but some people use the site just to find a date for a specific event or like just for company, and sex is actually not involved.
So it sounds like a lot of money is flowing there.
Well, that's the thing. So for some, the sex industry has become just more accessible, more risk-free, more satisfying. But it's exclusive. Most people in the sex trade can't be sugar babies. In my reporting, I found that this is a lot like many other parts of the economic boom. You know, some people are cashing in, but others are having a harder time than ever making ends meet. Like Sid Nova at the St. James Infirmary, he used the phrase the gentrification of the sex trade.
So what does that mean?
Well, what he meant was more upwardly mobile people like Adrian are getting into the industry and moving it from the neighborhood to the internet. So now there's this kind of two-tiered system and street sex workers lose out. Mm-hmm. And then there's the actual physical gentrification where cities start to, you know, quote unquote, clean up crime-ridden areas that they maybe used to neglect. Mm. So the people we're about to hear from, they argue that there are a bunch of things making street sex work more risky and less lucrative while the high end thrives.
Okay. That's reporter Liza Veal, who's been looking into how the Bay Area's economic boom is affecting the sex trade. In this next piece, she looks at what's happening to people who work on the street level. Let's hear that story.
It's evening. The light is low and dark orange on International Boulevard in Oakland. Groups of people cluster around food stands or bus stops or playing dice, except in the empty patches that stretch between vacant strip malls and shuttered schools. There's a Chinese restaurant that used to be a church that used to be a storefront, Mexican grocery stores with hand-painted signs. There's a little march of people holding a banner that says, "Honk for safe streets." And there are women, mostly, posted up on the corners, watching the traffic, sizing up the people inside the cars that are moving a little slower on the road. This area is a known prostitution stroll. There used to be others in Oakland, San Pablo Avenue and MacArthur Boulevard, but the traffic has moved further east as the other neighborhoods redevelop and attract wealthier residents. There's women alone, women in groups of twos and threes. Most aren't decked out in super high heels or big makeup. They just look nice. And they're facing the cars. The number of police reports on prostitution in Oakland more than doubled between 2013 and 2014, from 122 to 291. That could mean there's more policing, or that there's more prostitution, or both. Police and activists say they're not sure. So the women on International were mostly willing to talk, but nobody wanted to give their full name or too many details.
The fear is still there.
To really hear what goes on the street, you need to talk to people that have quit trading sex and so don't need to hide. Like Kristen D'Angelo. D'Angelo still does sex work, but she hasn't worked on the street since the 90s. She finds clients online now. She says she does it to help with the bills. She spends the rest of her time advocating for other sex workers. She says right now there's a crackdown on sex work in Oakland. It's something she's seen before when she first started in the sex industry.
They begin kicking us out of the massage parlors, you know, saving us.
D'Angelo was 16 and on her own. She says she didn't have enough money to go without working for more than a few days.
So I needed somebody to get me an ID that said I was of age so I can continue working safely, right? I didn't want to end up on the street. But the opposite happened. You know, I ended up at a truck stop in San Jose, you know, within 48 hours. Girlfriend told me, I have a friend who can get you an ID. And I thought, oh, that sounds great. So I went and met this guy who I didn't even understand what a pimp was. And he told me, oh, I can get you this fake ID that'll be totally legitimate. You just have to work for the weekend for it, you know, to pay for it. But that's not how it works. And I didn't know that.
She says once you're involved with a pimp, it's hard to get loose.
You let somebody be nice to you for a little while, and then, you know, there are no free lunches out there.
She worked the street on and off for 10 years. In the mid-80s, she was repeatedly beaten and raped by a man. When she pressed charges, she says her experience with the police and the legal system was so horrific that she decided to devote herself to activism.
His attorney argued it was nothing more than petty theft because of who I was. Now, that pissed me off.
Now she works for the Sex Workers Outreach Project in Sacramento, providing legal and health support for women in the sex trade. And she says new efforts to criminalize prostitution make it so women have to hide from the law instead of being able to use it to keep themselves safe. At the Outreach Project, they've been collecting data about people in the sex trade in Sacramento. According to D'Angelo, almost a third say the police have harmed them. And most say they wouldn't report a crime committed against them.
We had comments like, why would you ever purposely put yourself in front of a police officer?
She hears the same story when she talks to people in Oakland. The Oakland Police Department didn't respond to emails and calls requesting comment.
The more criminalized a sex worker is, the more risks they're going to take on.
That's Matthew Kellegrew, co-founder of Red Light Legal, a nonprofit in Oakland that provides legal support for people in the sex trade. He and co-founder Christina Dolgen say the crackdown on the demand side, the people buying sex, has made it less safe for workers on the street. Dolgen says there aren't as many clients now.
Which means that the clients that are available are ones that are willing to take risks.
In other words, she says there are people with less to lose, more likely to be reckless or violent, which is why they're seeing an increase
in instances of violence from predatory clients.
And clients know supply and demand. They know they have the upper hand, so prices are going down fast. According to the St. James Infirmary, a health services provider in San Francisco, the price of sex on the street dropped from $300 to $200 in the last year. So, given all this, why does anyone work on the street? Dolgen says up until a few years ago, you could post and screen clients on Craigslist or a free host site called redbook.com. But law enforcement has closed those channels. The others are all pay to play. And to access high-end clients, you need money.
So to pay for photos, professional photos, and to pay for your own website or pay to be on a website that hosts people's escort ads, to be able to afford to look like you are in the same socioeconomic class with those clients.
Dolgen says in practice that usually means being white, thin, and conventionally pretty. But if your situation is you need money tonight, which is the whole reason most people get into the sex trade, then you work outdoors. And Dolgen and Kellegrew say those people are disproportionately low-income black women.
One type of conduct is criminalized, the other type of conduct is not.
In terms of what they're actually doing, there's not much difference between a person like Adrian posting a profile on Seeking Arrangement and the women on International Boulevard. But the women on International are much more likely to need the money and much more likely to go to jail for their work.